Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
I'm Stephanie J. Block.
And I'm Mary Lee Fairbanks.
And we host Stages Podcast. Binge close to 100 episodes. Hear the inside stories from backstage and behind the scenes as we go beyond the resume and into the heart of creativity and what it really takes to be in the business of show business.
Don't miss our chats with the season's Tony nominees. If you love theater and entertainment, you are going to love Stages Podcast.
Subscribe to Stages Podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts and visit us at stagespodcast.net.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am Paris.
Hey, everyone. I have a very special guest joining me today on I Am Paris. You may know her from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills or as an actress, but more importantly, she's my aunt. Please welcome Kyle Richards. Hi, Aunt Kyle.
Hi, Paris.
How are you?
I'm good. This is exciting. I'm very excited to be here.
You look beautiful today.
Thank you. You look beautiful.
Thank you. I love the pink.
Oh, yeah. You do love pink.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
My color.
Yes.
So today I want to talk about some of the major moments in your past that made you the icon that you are today.
Okay.
So Kyle, even though I've known you my entire life, I want to share our special relationship with our fans.
I would love that.
So let's first talk about family. I was extremely close to Grandma growing up, and I miss her so much. She was such a force of nature. She would light up every room that she walked into. How would you describe her?
Oh, she was a powerhouse, really strong, opinionated, outspoken, little bit of a temper at times. but she was extremely passionate. Anything she felt really deeply. And obviously, you being her first grandchild, she was just so in love with you. You were her whole world. She was a lot softer with you than she was with her own daughters, which I, as an adult now, I see that. And I read about, once you have grandchildren, you're different. I always hear that, about people. And that was definitely Grandma. When it came to you, I used to think, well, wow, she's like so sweet and soft and snuggly. She was a lot tougher on us for sure.
She was so much fun. I just loved living with her in the desert for ninth grade. And
she was so funny.
So funny. Like if anyone was rude to me, she would call them on the phone.
God forbid anybody was not nice to you.
Yeah. She showed up to the school once, I think, and like yelled at someone who was being
mean. Do you remember when I did that?
Yeah, what happened that day?
Well, somebody made fun of you for having big lips at school, which I'm like, okay, And you were too young to understand that, there was a lot of jealousy and, what was beautiful about you, kids would pick on you about, and you would get your feelings hurt. And so you told me about this girl that was being rude to you, and I would like to just preface this by saying I was young and immature, but I was also mom of the school because I had Farrah when I was only 19. So I think at this time I was 23. I was 23. And I just went and I asked to speak to them, pulled them aside and told them if they ever spoke to you like that again. And I forget the rest, but I scared the daylights out of these kids. And I was feeling pretty proud when I left there.
What did she say?
I think she cried, and I was like, let's just keep this to ourselves. I just remember thinking, well, I I don't want her to like go and talk about this because I'm a parent, but she cannot be bullying people like this. You did get picked on and bullied a lot in school.
People were mean.
People were mean to me when I was little too, and I didn't, you know what that was. I remember when I did this mini series called Beulah Land, and it was a period piece, and I had like, I wore like all the, what's it called? Like the petticoats and all this stuff from, you know, like the bonnets from the 1800s and similar wardrobe that I wore on Little House on the Prairie type of thing. And I went to school the next day and like all these kids came up in a circle and they said, we saw you on TV last night. And I was like embarrassed and shy. And they said, you looked fat. And I just was like embarrassed. So I just said, I know. And I want, now my adult me is like, you know what? Those kids are mean. I should have said, F you or something. I was only like 10 or 11. But I'm like, that was just so mean. And why did I just say, I know? You know, I didn't know what to say or how to react.
Aww.
But anyway, it's okay. We those things made us stronger, right?
Yeah, definitely. What are three important life lessons that grandma taught you in life?
Oh, three important life lessons. To never allow yourself to be intimidated by anyone. To always speak your mind. And I'm trying to think of a way to word this, because she was really someone who didn't want, I think being a single mom and raising daughters, it was really important for her to teach us not to be afraid or fearful, whatever that may be. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we were women who all lived alone in our house, you know, or my grandma, your great grandmother, lived with us growing up. And so it was her grandma and your mom, Kim, and me. And she just didn't ever want us to be afraid. So she really wanted us to be brave. That was a really big thing for her. I think that's really formed who I am today. Not always in the best way. You know, like I think I have to be tough all the time. Otherwise, you're weak. And sometimes I'm like, it's okay to be weak. Sometimes it's okay to need help. But I can remember I was so afraid of bees because, you know, I'm severely allergic to them. And when she would see me be afraid, it bothered her because she wanted me to be strong and tough. So she would grab the bee and literally grab it with her hand and squish it. Like, how scary was she? And she'd be like, don't ever be afraid. I'm like, no, I'm scared of you. You're actually the most scariest thing I've ever seen. Taking a bee and squeezing it in your hand like that. She thought she was helping me, but I think she was traumatizing me a little bit.
Yeah, she always just had amazing advice. Like, I feel like she made me want to be independent and to never depend on anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was like an important thing to learn. Like, I don't think I would be the person I am today if it wasn't for her. Like, she made me feel so confident.
She really had a way of finding the best qualities in someone and putting the focus on that and bringing that out in someone, you know, so much of positive reinforcement, which I think is such an important part of raising children. You know, so many people focus on, you know, if your kid didn't do something right and they get punished for this or that. I would almost, you know, unless it was something horrible, sort of ignore that and focus on the good things, unless it was an important lesson that I didn't want them to miss. And I really think I got that from her, always focusing on our best qualities, our best attributes, which gave us more confidence.
I miss her.
Me too.
I miss you, Graham Cracker.
Graham Cracker. You know, she wanted to be called Mima.
Really?
Yes. She said, when the baby comes, I'm going to be Mima because I don't want to be grandma because I'm only 40 years old. And she kept saying, I'm such a young grandmother. And I was like, not really, because I didn't realize 40 was young. But when you're 10, you don't think that. So then she said, yes, her name is Mima. And then this, as soon as you started talking, I don't know, you just said Graham Cracker instead of grandma.
I did.
Said, yeah, you just said Graham Cracker.
I don't know. Because
I think
that
someone said, there's your grandma. And then you thought it was Graham Cracker. And then she was just Graham Cracker.
That's such a cute story.
She was obsessed with you. So much so that she got a standard poodle and named it Paris. And I was like, Mom, you can't have a dog that's the same name as your grandchild. That's weird. I can do whatever I want.
Yes.
And she would leave that dog watching, like, cartoons and stuff.
Treated it just like a baby. Poodle.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's so funny. We love you, Grandma.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
Hey everyone, I'm Mark.
I'm Greg.
I'm Brendan.
And this is a trailer for a new podcast called Get It to Dutch, A Screenwriter's Journey.
It's about screenwriting.
And a journey. The three of us play aspiring screenwriters on a quest to get a hit Hollywood script to famous producer Dutch Huxley.
Well, I would say one of us is aspiring and the other two are sort of struggling.
Which one of us is aspiring?
No, they're going to have to listen to the podcast.
But I don't know, and I made the podcast.
Well, I made the podcast, and I think you guys were along for the ride.
Each week, we bring in a script, we read it, and then we give each other notes.
And you'll also hear about our adventures navigating the Hollywood system.
The show features amazing guests like Tim Robinson, Lily Sullivan, Weird Al Yankovic, and Rob Hubel.
And like any great blockbuster, it's filled with heartbreak, adventure, suspense, and just a little tasteful nudity.
And some distasteful nudity.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that, guys.
Listen to Get It to Dutch, A Screenwriter's Journey on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us. They burned us and subject us to really horrible, cruel and unusual punishment.
After my personal experience at Provo Canyon School, I was shocked to learn that a man named Robert Litchfield, a man who got his start at the school that I went to, would go on to create a multi-million dollar empire.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's in treatment.
The Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs in Schools.
They prey on, you know, a parent's really natural and beautiful love for their children in a really, really, unfortunately, effective way.
At this time in my life now, if someone presented this program to me, and not just because I've already experienced it, sham, scam, beware.
Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. So you were a child actor with roles in Watcher in the Woods, with the legendary Bette Davis, Little House on the Prairie, the horror classic Halloween. What did you love most about these experiences as a kid?
You know, grandma put me into acting because I was so shy, painfully shy. And she thought it would help me overcome my shyness, which to a degree it did. At least it taught me how to fake it and pretend I wasn't shy. But what I loved most about, you know, was just, I had incredible experiences, you know, working with Bette Davis. How many people can say that? And I was very much aware of, you know, how powerful Bette Davis was only because grandma taught me, you know. Of course I wouldn't know at that age who Bette Davis was or why she was such a big deal. So I would lay in bed with grandma at night and I slept with her until I was 15 years old. Because I was afraid because of the horror movies I did. But she would read me stories like old time Hollywood and who these people were and how important they were. And she said, you know, you can learn lessons from her every time she says something. Watch as she speaks. Watch as she moves. You know, take everything in. Learn from her. This is like, this is the best education you could ever get working with Bette Davis. So each time I worked with these people was an education for me and made me, you know, a better actor. And I mean, kids were going to camp and, you know, doing the fun, normal things at school. This is what I was doing. So this is what I got to do.
Was Bette Davis nice?
She was. She was very intimidating. And not just because I knew who she was and what a big deal she was, but she had a very intimidating presence about her. But I mean, she was very nice. She was nice to me. And Aunt Kim got to work with her. Like the fact that both of us got to work with such a legend. We're just very fortunate.
Mm-hmm. She's iconic.
She really is.
That movie's so scary. I've seen it so many times.
It's funny.
When we were little, we'd watch it all the time.
Some people think that's scarier than Halloween. But Yes, because it was unexpected. Because it was a Disney movie and they had never made a scary film, people were shocked. So it was even more scary to them.
Was it hard for you to memorize lines in the scripts?
When I first started acting, I wasn't reading yet. So I had to memorize just by, you know, learning and memorizing the conversation. You know, so grandma would talk and she made like a speed game. So you had to do it really, really fast. That's how she taught me. And it really wasn't hard for me to remember lines at all. I think that's probably why I worked a lot. I remembered my lines really well. And I took direction really well because grandma was a great, I mean, she was our manager. And she had studied acting at the Academy of Dramatic Arts in New York. So she knew what she was doing.
She's like a coach.
Yeah, she was a coach.
Yeah, she would help me with the school plays.
Yes.
Kim also starred with Bette Davis in the Witch Mountain movies. What was it like having your sister to share these experiences with?
Well, when Kim did this movie, I believe I was like 4 years old. And I played the younger version of her in this, like in all the flashback scenes, because when I was little, my hair was also blonde. But I didn't really know. I was just a baby, you know, so I was just tagging along in these experiences. So I didn't really know and appreciate it until later. Like I said, it was just what we did. Like when kids are going to school, and I mean, I would go to school sometimes, sometimes to a normal, I call it normal, but it was like a school for actors. But mostly I was just on the set. So I didn't really know. This was just our life. And we were never in competition with each other ever because of the age difference. And just, that's not how grandma raised us.
Is there one role that you feel most proud of?
You know, I mean, work-wise, like stuff I've been doing lately, I feel very proud of. Just like this movie I just did, Beautiful Wedding. I really liked doing that. It was a comedy. But I think proud-wise, not just because of my acting, is I would say Halloween, just because so few people could say that, you know, I did this movie when I was 7 years old, and here I am decades later, still a part of this franchise, and I still have not been killed by Michael Myers, so... I mean, I'm pretty proud of that.
Yes. How is Jamie Lee Curtis?
Oh, she's amazing. She's amazing from the first time I met her when I was a little girl to this day. She's so loving and so supportive through everything, you know, showing up. She was showing up on the Housewives to support me in Children's Hospital, Los Angeles, and then which we got involved in and mm-hmm. you got involved in too. And yeah. So... she's just been a very supportive co-star, friend, and mentor. I cannot mm-hmm. believe when she won the Oscar, I cannot tell you how exciting it was for me. I was screaming. Like, I cannot believe my friend just won an Oscar. So exciting.
She deserves that.
She's
another legend.
She really is. She really is. And we went to the Grohmans Theater in Hollywood, and she put her hands in her footprint in the cement. And I sat there and I was like, this is really such an incredible moment. How many people get to do this? Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is unbelievable, you know, her career and following her parents. And I just admire it so much growing up in Hollywood and being able to do what she's done and still doing it.
Yeah, I love her.
Me too.
So let's fast forward to when you met me for the first time. What okay. was I like as a baby?
Perfect, flawless. So when you were born, you were grandma and I went to New York because I was still little and you were about to be born. So grandma wanted to be there obviously to help your mom because she was 21? And so she yeah. was, my grandma was worried about, you know, her not knowing what to do. So we went there and I had a little twin bed in your room with the crib, and you're just the cutest thing. And because I was the youngest and didn't have a little sister, to me that was really exciting because now there was someone younger than me. There was a baby in the family, so I didn't have to be the baby. And I know I've told you this before and I've shared this story before, but I would sneak in your crib and pull you out and pull you in the bed with me. And I would cry because I loved you so much. And I was like, even now, I'm like, why was I 12 years old crying? Because I love this baby so much. You were just so sweet and so cute. And I just was obsessed with you.
Did you babysit me?
All the time. Because your mom was like, she wasn't one of those moms like, don't touch the baby. So I was changing diapers, making bottles, laying with you. And we really bonded since you were an infant. And because of your mom and Aunt Kim, all of us being so close, we're all like so close with the babies, you know, after you came Nikki and then Brooke.
Yeah.
And then Farah. I mean, your mom was the first person to hold Farah. The doctor put the baby on me, and then your mom took the baby and didn't even let Farah's dad hold the baby. And then she was like, would you like to hold the baby for a minute? So, you know, we have that unique relationship in our family. And but I feel like yours and mine is, you know, really special. Obviously, I'm close with all of you guys, but you were the first one. And, you know, I was not, I was like, looking back, I was just a baby too.
So sweet.
Yes.
I love that. I love looking at all the old pictures and videos. And
I used to dress you up. You were just a little doll to me, I thought. And then when you were like this age, I was a frustrated makeup artist. So I would do makeup on you, and you just had the most beautiful features. And I would put eyeshadow, a lipstick, everything, and make you do like a catwalk thing. I don't know what I would. And your mom would come home and you'd have all this makeup on. I may be part of the problem now that I think about it.
Oh my God.
It's so cute.
So cute. So many fun memories when we were little. We were all like raised like we were sisters. Cousins were always together.
Always. We did everything together. You know, when every time, I mean, I say every time like it's a lot, but it is, because between your mom, Aunt Kim, and me, we have 12 kids. And we were always in the hospital, you know, with each other and in the room. We gave birth. When I tell people that your dad filmed my births, they probably think that's very strange. But he was up here, I have to say, and from the side. But I don't know. I was just like, that's how we did it. And we're all in the room with each other.
My dad was always filming everything. I'm so happy he did. I know. So many memories.
And thank God I saved a lot of photos and things too.
I know. My mom, I don't know where anything is. I'm like, can you please find them? She's like, I don't know.
I actually have boxes of stuff for you I found the other day, like magazine covers. When you first started becoming famous, I started saving things for you for when you grew up. And then it just got out of control. And then I stopped saving stuff. I was like, oh, she's on this magazine cover. I'm going to save it for her. And I'd buy like a few for like copies. Like it was going to be important one day. And then it just got so out of control. I stopped collecting them. I was like, this, whatever. That's too big of a job.
Them.
I'll
digitize them.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So you guys will get to see those soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us. They burned us and subject us to really horrible, cruel and unusual punishment.
After my personal experience at Provo Canyon School, I was shocked to learn that a man named Robert Litchfield, a man who got his start at the school that I went to, would go on to create a multi-million dollar empire.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's kid treatment.
The Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They prey on, you know, a parent's really natural and beautiful love for their children in a really, really, unfortunately, effective way.
At this time in my life now, if someone presented this program to me, and not just because I've already experienced it, sham, scam, beware.
Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Mark.
I'm Greg.
I'm Brendan.
And this is a trailer for a new podcast called Get It to Dutch, A Screenwriter's Journey.
It's about screenwriting.
And a journey. The three of us play aspiring screenwriters on a quest to get a hit Hollywood script to famous producer Dutch Huxley.
Well, I would say one of us is aspiring and the other two are sort of struggling.
Which one of us is aspiring?
No, they're going to have to listen to the podcast.
But I don't know, and I made the podcast.
Well, I made the podcast, and I think you guys were along for the ride.
Each week, we bring in a script, we read it, and then we give each other notes.
And you'll also hear about our adventures navigating the Hollywood system.
The show features amazing guests like Tim Robinson, Lily Sullivan, Weird Al Yankovic, and Rob Hubel.
Like any great blockbuster, it's filled with heartbreak, adventure, suspense, and just a little tasteful nudity.
And some distasteful nudity.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that, guys.
Listen to Get It to Dutch, A Screenwriter's Journey on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How would you describe me as a kid in three words?
How would I describe you in three words as a little girl? You were always, and you still are to this day, and I always say this, and I think this is something about you that is very misunderstood. You are very eccentric, very much, and people don't get that about you. You were very sneaky.
What do you mean?
Whatever you weren't supposed to do, you did. Whether that was sneaking in an animal into the house that you shouldn't have, or I don't, you're just sneaky. Little sneaky.
Sneaking out.
Sneaking out as you got older, hiding things. I mean, you were like the climbing out the window kind of kid.
Yeah.
Yes. And, very sweet. Always really sweet. A very big heart and, you know, your love of animals and just like a very, gentle soul. And I don't think people get that about you. That always bothers me.
I think unless they know me.
I mean, there's been times like when you were younger where people would pick on you in the press and they didn't know you. And I would get so upset and so defensive. And I'm like, you have no idea who this person is and how much words can hurt when you know nothing. So annoying to me. It's so maddening. Of course, that hasn't changed. We all, you know, are subject to that. But, I mean, you've grown into this woman now and you're a mommy and you're a wife. And, you know, a lot of that chatter is behind you. But, of course, no matter what, people are going to say mean things.
Yeah.
But I felt so defensive of you. Because I'm like, you have no idea how this sweet little soul you're talking about,
how you
could be hurting her.
I know. Sweet, sensitive. But now I feel like I've been through so much that nothing.
I know. I mean. And that's kind of scary too.
Yeah.
I sometimes say, I think I have flatlined. like something bad will happen. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, what can I say? I mean, you do get to that point where you just, you've heard so much, and the headlines that I've read about myself in this last year. If you had told me I would read these headlines, I don't know, 2-3 years ago, I would have been like just lost it. And now I'm like, I really, what else can they say? I don't care.
Yeah, I know. It's like nowadays with everything, like people can just make up whatever they want, and it's just like,
well,
it's all about clickbait.
Well, I was saying, you know, because clickbait was never a thing. Obviously, we didn't have the internet, you know. Yeah. But people were buying magazines, and you would read full stories in there. So there was no such thing as that. But then when magazines kind of went away, and the only way they could make money was clicking on the link in the bio, they had to do something. So they will say something that doesn't even match the story. But if you're not paying attention and you're just scrolling, that's what they're going to see, and that's their takeaway. And it doesn't matter if it has zero truth to it, that's their opinion of you.
Mm-hmm. Especially like in the early 2000s, it still happens today, but the media loves pitting women against each other, and they'll just create more stories like, oh, sources say, just to like protect themselves from lawsuits. But so much of the time, people are just trying to stir up trouble just to make a story.
Well, I learned this from somebody who's very big in that world of on the internet and stories. They told me that they will sit around a table and talk about what the hot topics are and just make up a story. And then they say a source said, and as long as they don't say a name, you can't question it. Mm. So I can say anything I want about you because it's going to make us money and click on it. And I'm just going to say, we're just going to say a source said.
Because basically it's like someone in the room that they're with right now and just
there's nothing they can do. So every time there's something like that about us, we just have to, this is why we have flatlined. This is why we're like, oh, well, okay, numb. Whatever. I'm part giraffe. Okay, cool.
Yeah. We know the truth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel when you found out that you were pregnant with Farah at a young age?
I was living with grandma, and I went with Roxanne, family friend, used to be Rexall on La Cienega. Do you remember what it was like, Rexall? Yeah. You're too little. Okay. And I got like the 2-in-1 pregnancy test, and I came home and I was so scared. And it said, if this water turns any shade of blue, you are definitely pregnant. And I like put the drop in, and it was like literally the bluest blue you've ever seen in your life. And I like started screaming, oh my God, freaking out. And Roxanne was like, oh my God. I said, she goes, well, I'll just show you. I said, maybe it's wrong. Maybe it's wrong. And she said, well, I'll show you. I'm going to do it. It's going to be clear. And then you'll know that it's definitely working. So she does it, and she goes, look, it's clear. And I said, it said any shade of blue. And if I hold this up against a white towel, it looks a little blue to me. We were both pregnant.
Oh my gosh.
So I went in to grandma, and she was in her room, and she looked at me, and I started crying, and she said, you're pregnant. I said, and I was like, what? And then she said, well, what are you crying about? And she said, I'm here for whatever you need. I will help you. I'm here for you 100%. And I was like, I mean, I was so young. And I didn't.
How old are you?
Not even 19. I was 18. She was 19. I was 19, sorry, when she was born. So that was really young for your mom to say that. And I'm so incredibly grateful for her being that kind of mom, because can you imagine if I didn't have that beautiful daughter of mine who was just a miracle and the smartest, most beautiful, most together? I mean, wow. You're and so if lucky. I did not have a mom like her, this could have been a very different story.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So cool, all the girls.
I know.
So gorgeous.
So many women in our family. My gosh. Right? We have, because I have all girls, and then 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So we have 9 girls and 3 boys between us. That's a lot of women.
So many.
A lot of really strong women too. Mm-hmm. There's not a weak one in the bunch.
No, there's not.
That Kathy senior DNA runs strong.
Yes. So cute.
Right?
Did you ever want a boy?
I did. I did want a boy. I tried for a boy, and you know, God wanted me to have all girls, and I got what I was meant to have. And I look like, just even seeing those pictures, I just think, oh, I can't believe they're all mine. And I know it sounds like they're mine, like they're possessions, but they are mine. They're my children, but they're just, I just can't believe it. I just look and I'm like, there's so many too, and I'm so lucky.
They're so sweet. Who do you think is the most like you?
Personality. You know, they all have a little bit of me. Sophia is a lot like me. She is the unapologetic version of me. You know, Alexia is a lot like me, just with like how she's very domestic and likes to do things in the house and the cooking and making things look pretty. And Farah, we have that too. Farah and I have a lot of the same sense of humor. We're all, they each have a little bit of me, but Sophia, I think, is the most. Portia is just her own person. She's actually starting to look a little bit like me, even though she was all Mo.
Mm-hmm.
She's starting to look a little bit like me, people are saying, and she's my height. I'm like, you did get my height, Portia.
How old is she now? 16 or 17?
16. She's driving.
It's so crazy.
I know, it is really crazy. She's like such a great student and so, you know, responsible. I'm a really lucky mom.
Love them.
You remember how strict I was? You said to me, don't be so strict with the other ones like you. Oh, yeah, you said like you were with Farah. But hey, look, it worked.
Yeah. You were so strict.
I was so strict.
But Farah was always such a good girl, so I guess it worked.
It worked with all of them. What can I tell you?
Are you strict with Portia?
I'm less strict, but I am strict. You know, like her curfew is earlier than her friends, and I will wait up, and she has to, you know, if I have fallen asleep, she has to wake me.
What's her curfew?
Midnight. Which, by the way, Farah's was 11 until she went to college. I'm so embarrassed to admit that. But she never asked for it to be later. And I feel like kids do like structure. And I didn't have the structure, which is why I was like that with my children as much as I could with what, you know, little experience I had. But when I mean little experience with structure is what I'm trying to say. But she never asked for her curfew to be later. And Portia really hasn't either. She'll say, can I be a little bit late tonight? And I'll say yes. And I try to, and I do think about what you said. Don't be so strict. But, you know, I think it, when they know that they're loved and that the reason you're strict is to protect them and that you love them so much, I think it just, I think it hits them differently.
Mm-hmm. Do they have the Find My iPhone on their phones?
Yep. I have all my kids on there. All of them.
That's a great thing about technology. Actually, if I was a teenager, I probably would have hated that.
Oh, you would have disconnected it. You would have 100% disconnected it and said your phone was broken.
Yeah, I lost it.
I have no idea what happened. My phone is not, the Find My has not been working on my phone for a long time. What are you talking about? Or you'd like bury your phone in your bed and then get another phone and take it with you.
Yes. That,
right?
That would be me.
You had all of the
bat phone that goes out with me.
Yeah, you had the burner phone for sure. You would have had the burner phone for sure if 100. It was in that time.
100. Okay, well, there's so much more to discuss with my Aunt Kyle. In the next episode, we're going to catch up on what's going on right now. So stay tuned for the next episode of I Am Paris.
Thanks for listening to I Am Paris. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at I Am Paris Podcast. Email us at paris@iheartradio.com. Be hot and subscribe now. Loves it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.